Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. As ever, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can do so by dropping me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. But we're going to focus on something a little bit different. There is a new live stage show taking place in the Civic Theatre this weekend. It's called Seven Deadly Sins, and it incorporates technology, gaming, and live theatre. I am delighted to say that the man behind the show, Niall Austin, is with me now. Niall, how are you?
I'm great, Jess. Thank you very much for having me on.
I'm delighted to talk to you because this is something that caught my eye instantly. It's an amalgamation of some of my favourite things all in one show. For those who haven't heard about anything about it yet, can you just introduce us to the concept?
Sure, I'd be delighted to. So Seven Deadly Sins is the world's first ever fully interactive stage show. So basically everybody in the audience gets to kill demons as the onstage story unfolds. So it's a new type of live entertainment. On stage, we've reimagined Dante's Inferno for the 21st century with a musical score that includes rock and hip hop and opera. But to help the characters through the circles of hell, the audience use their mobile phones to shoot an assortment of demons, goblins, zombies, and monsters to clear their path through the circles of hell. So it's a first-person shooter game, and basically everybody gets to play.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And it's funny because the majority of shows that you go to now, whether it's comedy or theatre or music, they're encouraging people to put their phones away. But now this concept is the phone is front and centre along with the action to bring people along and get them engaged. Before we talk about the technology, where did this idea come from and what made you want to do it?
So I have been playing in bands and in assorted entertainment environments for many, many years. And I also enjoy gaming. And I've worked in augmented reality and I just love the experience. But I realized that, you know, I was very impressed with Pokemon Go. I was fascinated with how it worked. But I realized there was a real issue that you couldn't contextualize it and say, I want a Pokemon to come in that window and go out that window, go out that door there. And we thought, how could that be possible? So we looked at there's an assortment of mapping tools that you can kind of use to develop that. Really, we thought, imagine if the stage show was a backdrop for an augmented reality game. How cool would that be? And that was really the thinking behind it. What you said about people putting their phones down is so important because every show you go to, the first thing they say is it's in the fire warning and put your phones away. And yes, Eventbrite research shows that 2/3 of younger audiences go specifically to get the photo or the video. So when everyone else is saying put them down, we're saying put them up. And that's the key for games to start. So it's just really to introduce this concept of a far more multidimensional gaming experience. But also, if you look at how it's worked on e-learning, the immersion and engagement you get when you make it interactive or you gamify a piece of text, it's reckoned by research to be up to 8 times more effective in terms of your retention and your engagement with it. So we thought, wow, imagine you were showing a theater show or a play or a rock show or a cinema piece, because it works in the cinemas as well, the technology. You could be playing along as part of the character's story journey or the character arc. And that just blew my mind. So we loved it. And then we tried to figure out how can we do it. And that's where we're at today.
Yeah. So let's talk through how you managed to do it, because I know that you guys worked alongside Maynooth University. But is this something that has been mapped out specifically for the Civic Theatre, or is it something that you can just pick up and deploy wherever else you go?
No, so we built a mapping tool. So a lot of people build mapping tools. There's a lot of different types. I mean, very roughly, you've got GPS, but it's not precise and you can't really use it indoors. There's a few things you can do with Bluetooth. But we kind of came up with the idea of, imagine you could use mapping using ultra wideband chips. And it was the idea of contextualizing within a building. So imagine there's a Pandora's box in the middle of a stage. And I'm in the front row on the seat on the left-hand side. I'm 5 meters and 5.3 meters away from the box, looking at a 67-degree angle. But if I'm further back in the gods and I'm in row M, seat 19 on the far right-hand side, now I'm 13 meters away. I'm looking at minus 43 degrees. And how, if I open that box and I want bats to fly out to shoot them, can they see it in context? That was really the ultimate challenge. So we went down to Maynooth University. There's a guy called Professor Jerry Lacey there, who's brilliant on cameras. And he gave us this great graduate student called Cian Redmond, who helped us to program in the mapping tool. So we built a mapping tool that we can, within an hour or so, go into any venue and map it. And it works in a theatre like the Civic, which has got, you know, 350 seats, but I can do it in Crow Park as well, because we have about a 250 metre range. So we map the venue, and then we can contextualize each individual seat. And then we use the X, Y, and Z data from the seat to be able to tell you where we want something to happen and how to react to it. And then we build a mobile app, and the mobile app has all of the heavy assets. So that's like the very big interactive features, like the 3D modeling of the games and stuff. And then we build a control panel, and the control panel tells the app when to fire up certain simulations or not, and also what the angle and context of that is within the specific seat that the audience has. And that's all done from a controller. So there's a mapping tool, there's an app, and there's a controller. And that's kind of the secret to that whole thing. And we were able to get a patent on the idea as well, or we're in the process of a patent application in for the idea. And it's quite a novel angle. And I think the reason that, because I came from playing in the Ronnie Drew band and playing in a few other sort of, I did a little bit of opera and I did a few rock bands, I kind of knew the stage experience, and I knew what I was trying to do as a backdrop, to be a backdrop for a broader, more immersive experience. And while big companies are looking at mapping and robots and, you know, shopping centers, no one was really looking at theaters and live venues or cinemas, because it's smaller environments. So I suppose it's harder to make money, but it's actually a perfect place for contextualized augmented reality. And that's why we've done this. And the first show, Seven Deadly Sins at the Civic, is the first time it's a development performance. So we don't quite know how it's going to work. We've done obviously lots of load testing and all that kind of stuff, but it's all working so far, and hopefully it will continue to work as the next couple of days go on.
Yeah, but I love the fact that it's innovation, and it's a true sense of innovation as well. From the audience point of view, and this could be a stupid question, but will every audience experience a different version of the show? Will every audience member interact? Do you have to interact? If you're just sitting there and you don't engage with the app or the phone, what kind of content are you seeing?
That's a really good question. Well, look, we have an amazing cast. We have opera singer Claudia Boyle. We have rising hip hop sensation Fortune. We have singer Aoife Spratt. We have ballet dancer Niamh O'Hanlon. We have members of the Dublin Gospel Choir. So there's actually a great show on stage. And I was trying to think of it in the context of if, say, a mum and a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old decided to go out and see the show, the 14 and 16-year-old might want to play the games. The mum just wants to sit there and enjoy the music. And that's fine. And there's a great onstage show. You can't get away with a poor onstage show for anything anyway. So I believe the show it's really good fun. It's a very interesting story. It's very well told. But then the added value is that each individual can take out any Android or Apple phone in the last sort of 3 or 4 years, and the app will work. The experience will be unique to them. But they'll see similar characters, and they'll have a different battle with similar characters. And then all the scores are accumulated, and we can put up leaderboards at the end of each round. So we know that your gamer name is Jesse K, or whatever your gamer name is, you're in seat J11, and you've scored 980 in that last round, and that places you at number 11 on the scoreboard, and we might throw you a t-shirt. So it's quite a holistic approach to the experience that we're trying to give you within the venue.
And how important, again, with your own background, how important was it to factor in the more traditional entertainment experience alongside the technology? Because very often it's one or the other, right? You can kind of go down the techie route or you can go down the traditional theatre route. So this is one of the first examples I've heard of a proper marrying of the two.
It is quite unique. We brought a theatre director over from the States. He's actually a Fulbright scholar working in Salzburg at the moment to direct, but he is the world authority on immersive live entertainment. And he's been directing the show. No one can get away with putting on a bad show and expecting people to enjoy it. A bad show would be a poor backdrop for any technology experience. I'm kind of lucky in that I have a foot in both camps, where I've been at the sort of live entertainment thing for a long time, but I also build simulations and games and activations for lots of people. So I kind of had a foot in both camp, and we've tried to make it so that people will get, you know, those who play will enjoy it. Those who don't play will also enjoy it.
And from, because I know quite a few people who work, you know, in the cruise and the event side of things, from their point of view, from a showrunner's point of view and from a production point of view, is it the same thing every night, or can the outcomes alter, and are there plans A, B, C, D, E and F and so on?
That would be an ideal outcome. It would probably be quite a large budget. So if, from a showrunner perspective, it's very much similar to what you would do before. We build what we call spores around the stage, which are virtual locations where demons and monsters can come out of. And we try and choreograph around that to a degree. So that is a consideration. And it's another dimension in the broader planning of the show that needs to be considered. But other than that, it is exactly the same. I mean, the singers sing, the musicians play music, and the dancers dance, but we try and map the stage out a little bit more so that they're very much interacting with the interactives that will be appearing in people's phones. So it's you need a slightly different way of thinking, but with an exactly similar skill set.
We're seeing, you know, I broadcast the show from Las Vegas last year when you two were at Sphere, and we spoke to some of their crew about the mammoth effort that went into producing something like that. They were using AR and VR in terms of the construction. And from a fan's point of view, as a concert goer myself on the night that I saw it, it completely shifted my expectation for live events. Is that something that you're seeing now, that consumers do want more than, I suppose, or that they want the option to experience more than just what we've had to date?
Absolutely, Jess. I mean, I imagine myself sitting in a cinema theater in 1939 watching Wizard of Oz, and all of a sudden it goes from this swirling black and white cabin out in the Midwest of America into a glorious full color, and in glorious full color of Oz, the first time that was a color cinema print. And how much that must have affected people. Cinema and live performing and music are constantly evolving. You know, they didn't have lights until Pink Floyd. They were playing in the broad lights of the venue. They didn't have video backdrops till Madonna did in the 80s. You know, they didn't have Dolby sound. So it's a constantly evolving mediums. You know, Bing Crosby became a big star in the 1930s because he introduced the microphone and the PA system. So theatre and cinema and live music are constantly evolving, and this is just potentially another step on the path. It's early days, but I think people's expectation and their lifestyles, I think everybody expects now that the Sphere is going to be something, but the Sphere costs $2.3 billion. Yeah. Or, you know, the ABBA Voyage show in London, amazing thing, but huge money. How can we get that in you know, a place like the Civic Theatre in Tala, or in the Abbey, or in the Olympia? You know, what we can do is we can put a lot of those additional features onto people's mobile phones. Everybody has one. They're on it. I mean, they're on it so many hours of every day. It's welded to their hands. So let's, instead of thinking of it as the enemy, let's make it useful for them and let them actually use that to integrate into broadening and deepening the experience. And that's kind of what we're trying to do. And hopefully this will be the first of many shows. And this show will tour and other shows will come along and say, we want to build this technology into it.
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely the beginning of something for sure. How has it gone down in terms of when you're talking to people, explaining the concept? You've explained it incredibly well now. I think we can all kind of imagine and envisage what it's like. Do people of varying age groups, do they instantly get it, or is it a bit of a show and tell?
That's a very fair question, and probably the honest answer is I think some older generations are going to find it challenging. We did at one stage only as a joke, say we were going to put over 35s accompanied on the posters, but we didn't in the end. But it did. I think I'll tell you who's a great audience. Comic-Con, the people who go to Comic-Con would be a perfect audience for this, because they're amenable to new experiences. They understand the old Sony. When Sony was doing the Garage Band and Guitar Hero, they used to say, fun to play, fun to watch other people play. And I think even if you're not playing, you're going to be engaged with the fact that other people around you are doing this. It's kind of interesting. So I would hope that it will eventually become something that's broadly accepted among a lot of audiences. But I think for now, I mean, I think anybody from sort of 15 to 45 is really going to get it. And we've had a lot of people in here testing it out over the last few days, and they really seem to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. If only for the novelty experience, but it does help tell the story. It's a storytelling tool. And if it can compound and add to the story that's being conveyed on the stage through the actors' performances, then you're onto a winner, really. You know, it's lots of fun. It's meant to be fun. So I think people like to blow stuff up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it sounds fantastic. The one thing that I am wondering, just knowing myself, how I am when I'm gaming. So I'm playing Hogwarts Legacy on my Switch at the moment, and every time I struggle, I'm yelling at the Switch or I'm shouting out when I kill someone, and I'm delighted with myself. Are you? You know, is
very happy with that reaction in a live context. So what okay. we have. Within the show, there are 10 actual games. There are 10 individual games, and it's not throughout the show. So it happens at certain points within each of the circles of hell. There's different demons and different monsters and scary clowns and evil eyes and things that you're competing against. And they all have different powers and they have different skills. And what so if you don't do particularly well against the Valkyrie, then in is going to come the scary eyes. And there's a new game for you. So it doesn't matter if you wish to scream and shout. It will not distract our actors. We've already got them used to hearing the sound and the barrage of gunfire in the background. And it will all contribute to the performance.
Awesome stuff. Well, look, it does sound absolutely fantastic. As I said there, it's on in the Civic Theatre. It's probably too late right now for you to get tickets, but the full details are up on civictheatre.ie. And as Niall said, it will tour at some stage, so keep an eye out. It's called Seven Deadly Sins. Niall, it's been an absolute pleasure and best of luck with it.
Thanks so much for having me on, Jess.